The business end of the season has arrived with 8 teams left to battle it out for the 2022 Premiership glory. Watch all finals games live and loud at West Ashfield over the coming weekends. This September, bring the whole family to dine at the Garden with brand new spring lunch and dinner specials introduced by the Bistro. Head to the website dining page to find out more. Book your table today. Available Monday to Thursday. And for more information, visit westashfield.com.au/the-garden or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at West Ashfield. And West Ashfield, for those who don't know, is at 115 Liverpool Road, Ashfield. And welcome into another episode of the West Life Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. We are sponsored by West Ashfield Leagues, the best place to watch the game or the games. No West Tigers games to watch for a while, but you can watch the semi-finals live and loud at West Ashfield and grab a feed and a nice cold beer there. Maybe find some other West Tigers fans hanging around to mourn the worst season in the history of the club. So, and we're also sponsored by MG Pump Solutions. Later on, we'll work out who the MG Pump Solutions Player of the Year is. It's pretty much a two-horse race at the moment. It's kind of, but we'll see what happens there. Please give us a follow on the socials at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And if you would like to support and take part in the show, patreon.com/West Life. Probably good time to do that with our special guest coming on Thursday's show. If you want to submit a question for this West Tigers star player that's coming back on the show on Thursday, your question will get 100% answered if you join the Patreon and give us a subscribe on the YouTube channel. I see YouTube finally. They're very slow, YouTube, with the notifications to say we're going live. So if you're waiting for us to go live, YouTube always takes its goddamn time. Facebook, goes live, gives a notification literally the second after I hit go live. So welcome to everyone on the YouTube. Give us a subscribe, like, all those good things. And then, Twitter and Instagram, go to, there's a link in those profiles, and that's where you can find all of our stuff. My usual co-hosts are with me again, and we'll be here all the way up to the grand final. We're trudging on. We'll find things to talk about, and like tonight, we'll get to the back half of the player ratings that you guys did for us. But so plenty to talk about. I'm sure plenty of news will drop the West Tigers, even though we're not playing rugby league. I'm sure we'll be amongst plenty of media, and we'll try and do as many interviews and stuff that the club will allow us to do. So plenty to go in this show for a few more weeks yet. And joining us from he's gotten back home after driving all the way to Sydney for that shit fest yesterday. As I saw you at the game, you and your brother at the game yesterday. Nice to, you can say, I'm sure you'll come back to Sydney because your dad's here, but it's just a lot less sad drives home for you now, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. G'day, Josh. G'day, Rob. G'day, everyone listening and or watching. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm bloody glad that season's over. The footy's usually been something for me to help me through what can be a long year, something positive, something to look forward to. But this year's been quite the opposite of that, unfortunately. We've had 5 games where we should have won, and 4 of them we did. So, yeah, just a poor season overall. I drove up to Sydney to watch 12 of our games. That's half the season. And I've only driven home as a winner twice. So that kind of puts the nail in the coffin on what the season's been. It was a bit of a disappointing one to be there watching yesterday as well. I ended up driving home straight after the game pretty much. So got back home reasonably late last night, had a bit of time to think about everything along the way, had those questions about do I renew, do I not renew for next year? Am I willing to put myself potentially through another season of suffering? But I've still got plenty of time to think about that. The auto-renewal for us members isn't until middle of next month, so I've got probably about 4 or 5 weeks.
Thanks for the reminder.
Left for that. But yeah, happy to be back doing the show again. Looking forward to seeing what else we get up to over the rest of the final series. We'll be here, unlike the Tigers.
Yeah, plenty to talk about too. Yeah, the membership-wise, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'll be a member, ticketed member in one capacity or the other, but I was very lucky this year. Like obviously, Gussie got us yep. into a game. Shane got me into another CommBank game. My dad got me into the Chairman's Lounge yesterday, which was pretty good. I took my son to his first ever NRL game, and he was in the Chairman's Lounge, literally sitting. We were sitting literally as in front of the podium where Lee was making his speech. So that it was pretty funny. But so he got his first game. So the result didn't really mean that much. It was more about Father's Day for me yesterday. The season was over. So yeah, seeing my son getting excited over planes flying over Leichhardt Oval, and there was plenty of music being played for every single try being scored. That got him a bit excited. He couldn't, obviously, a two-year-old doesn't really give a shit about the on-field stuff. So it's it was a day I'll remember, but the game itself is pretty much a blur at this point. So giving out a 3-2-1 will be tough. Mr. Bashara, how are you feeling this week? Are you glad the season's over? And obviously, yeah, you watched the game from home yesterday.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad it's over. Josh, g'day, by the way, and hi, Aaron, and hi, all the listeners out there, and to all the dads out there, happy Father's Day massacre for yesterday. I hope you all enjoyed your day. Look, it was just a terrible watch. I sat there expecting it. To be brutally honest, the only time I fired up at the TV and hurled abuse was when I saw the chairman and the incumbent coach on the price. Other than that, I just sat there passively. Just, it's not the wooden spoon, guys. It's just the way our season was handled. I don't know. Like, I'm so bitter, and I have an unhealthy anger towards the leaders of our club and how this year's been treated, and the fact that it was over basically at the end of May, and then moving forward a few steps after, you know, missing out on Serrato and all that, the fact that Sheens was named and then didn't man up and take responsibility of what was needed for this club, we've just had to sit as supporters and suffer. And it's just not fair. I mean, you guys, good on you for going out to the game. I had the opportunity to go to the game, and I said, I'm not wasting my time with it. I'll sit in the comfort at home. I'm not feeling 100%, but I knew what was going to happen. We were undersized in the forwards. We're undersized in the backs. You knew it was just a face-saving mission, and it was just another training run. And, you know, as Sheens has put it, it was another punch in the face that we're just meant to accept. And I never thought we'd get lower than the wooden spoon. This is lower than the wooden spoon, and I don't even know if we've reached our bottom, Josh. It's just bitterly disappointing. I think a lot of it's self-inflicted. I don't have any hatred or pain towards the players. I love the team. I love the players. I just can't believe the lack of leadership and the amount of mistakes our leaders have done and the fact that we don't have any say in it and all this bitterness and hatred that I've got towards our leaders. And I'm telling you, it's genuine. If I saw them face to face, I'd tell them to their face and I'd even do something stupid and take a swing at them. It's fueled by the love of our club and the passion we've got to be successful. And when we continuously make dumb decision after dumb decision and our hands are tied, you go into games now thinking we don't even have a chance of winning. There's not even Fortress Leichhardt. It's just sheer stupidity. And the most experienced man in the club just washed his hands of this situation. It was like being the captain of the Titanic. It was sinking and he left everyone on the ship and jumped on the life raft and said, I'll worry about next year. It's just absolutely pathetic. I want apologies. I want resignations. And I'm not going to be a dumb supporter that just says she'll be right and everything will be right in a year or 2 years or 5 years. I will just watch my Tigers that I love with less passion, with less enthusiasm, and just not get hurt by it anymore, because we've been mentally trained to accept this lack of mediocrity. We've been conditioned now to just accept shit, and it'll be right in 3 years or 5 years. Our leaders know nothing. They know absolutely nothing, and it shows with our worst season in 22 years. So I'm just more disappointed that we had no chance from May. We literally had, it was just like watching a slow death of a loved one. So, you know, look, it's over now. Anything can happen next year. But, you know, look, I did a little bit of homework, Josh. We haven't made the finals for 11 years. I looked up the last 11 previous Wooden Spooners. Only one of them made the semi-finals the next year, which was Parramatta. I think it was Wooden Spooners in 18, made the finals in 19. Okay, yeah. Other than that, it's very hard to make the finals the following year. Now, like I said, anything can happen and you could win the premiership. I'm not saying it can't.
The Roosters did it.
Yeah, well, the Roosters might have done it prior to the 11 years. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was late. Yeah, it was a little bit before.
Oh, well, that would have been 2010.
Yeah, they went from Spoon to Grand Final. Grand
Final against St. George. Yeah. But look, it is what it is. And the problem is the Wooden Spoon and the lack of success within the club, it belongs to all of us. But at the end of the day, our leaders put us in this position and they're just saying, you know, well, you know, we've just got to suck it up. Well, you know, I don't think we have to suck it up. And as a Balmain and West Tiger supporter, I've seen three finals in 30 years and this is the worst I've ever seen this club. Like, our football department is literally brain dead, okay, in a corpse-like state. And it's being kept alive by the life support, which is the financial profit of the club. But we are basically fucked, Josh. We are so fucked. And we're going to have these same stupid, incapable leaders trotting out their shit again. Oh, we've got 25,000 members in 2023. And we've got West Tigers DNA. And we've got this and we've got that and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And it'll be the same old shit, Josh. And I just have no faith in this club anymore.
Yeah, it definitely reflect. I mean, Paul Kemp was saying similar things on the media tonight. I saw someone in our comments ask about what Paul Kemp said. We'll get to that soon. Shouts to Darren, who sent us a message through the socials, fan of the show. Had a chat to him, and he said he agrees with all the things that you've said and Tripper, and he just asked basically how does one get, he actually said to me he'd love to see your Tripper on the board, Rob, but how does that happen? But as you said in the past, it's and look, from the people I was chatting to as well, by the sounds of it, the board they're not agreeing with each other. So it seems like there's different opinions floating around, like the Adam Dwyer situation. I'm kind of scared that he's going to go. Although a lot of the fan base has turned on him as well over the past few weeks. But it's in shambles. Absolutely, that's putting it lightly. The only other game for lower grades on the weekend, our Jersey Fleet boys bounced out first week of the finals. They lost 26-22 to the Dragons. So 2 weeks in a row, they lost to the Dragons. So their season is finished. And obviously New South Wales Cup finished up last week. And our girls won the comp earlier in the season. Righto, so on to this game. We won't touch on it. I know a lot of people say, do we have to talk about this game? We won't harp on it too much. But, obviously the big thing, the big stat that I brought up, 46 missed tackles. So the Raiders had 42 sets, I believe. So a missed tackle every single set. Like, it was just, amateurs putting it lightly as like the defense in that first half, like it's beyond like unprofessional. Like the Raiders were just, we made them look like superstars. Raiders fans are going off as if they're bloody going to win the comp. They'll probably bounce out next week against the Storm anyway, but just like not even having a go. It's just, you and I both, I left the stadium early, mainly because my son was getting a bit ratty. But, for anyone who stayed for that whole 80 minutes in a West Tigers gear, I commend you all. So, it's just pathetic.
Pretty much. The thing that stood out to me the most was players like Kelmer just not even trying. He kind of just reached out. The player ran straight past him and he just put his arm down and started walking back towards the try line. Like, why do you even bother putting the jersey on if that's the way you're going to play? Like, you can hardly even call it playing. Like, he was one of the players. I'm not going to like single him out or anything, but he was one of the players who didn't really do anything in attack either. When we did get the ball on very rare occasions, as you can see by the tackles made there, they've had to do nowhere near as many as we did, and they missed hardly as many, like less than half as many as we did. So, it was just pathetic. It was lazy. They didn't really put on a performance that the dads in the club could be proud of. There were very few players out there who tried. It was like half of them had already gone to Bali. They were already on the plane.
Yeah, and a few of them already, living with 1 foot out the door. I mean, of that squad, there's probably only 4 or 5 of them that are probably going to be in our round one team next year. But Rob, like, just the fight in this team, and on Adam Dwyer here, a good. A comment from, where was it? Benjamin on YouTube. Reed Dwyer, I think he's preserving himself because others in the side gave up and he doesn't want another bad injury. Do you think that's part of it, Rob? Like, do you think this is like Adam is looking at guys around him who just don't want to put in now, and he's just, even he's at his wits' end as well?
Perhaps in previous weeks, Josh, I accept what Aaron's saying about a couple of blokes didn't look like they were really giving it their all. But to be fair, I actually thought there was effort there. We were just totally outclassed, undersized and outperformed, and they got a roll on. It wasn't like there were 4-man overlaps on tries or we numbered up. They just better ball movement, better decoy runners, everything in faster motion. Even when we made tackles, it took 3 or 4 of our guys to pull down one of their guys. It wasn't like a Storm performance in the Sunshine Coast where we weren't even having a go, or the Roosters the last 60 minutes where we weren't trying to tackle. There was a lot of effort there we just sucked. Okay. There's just, no, yeah. there's just no other way to put it. Yeah. I'm not. And honestly, guys, like I can't imagine being one of those players yesterday, because if you go through man by man and you have to look at the forward pack, and like New Brown was one of our better players, but you compare him to Adam Elliott in terms of weight, you compare a Tom Freeband, you know, to a Harawira Naira or a Hudson Young. I mean, we literally were giving 8 and 10 kilos away on every forward position. We, as you're going to talk about Kent later, I heard him say it tonight, and we heard it again previously with the Roosters game. It was men against boys. But we do a lot of stupid things ourselves, Josh. And, you know, we had a great comment in the Patreon comment. We've got the most left-handed left winger playing on the right wing that can't carry the ball in his right arm. Like Ken Mamalo's a left winger. You know, we keep saying...
With Brett, one leg at the moment.
With
he
one
was
leg.
He was strapped to the... He looked like the million-dollar man. He had that much strapping on. You could tell he wasn't right. Like, why play him in the last game? It wasn't fair on him to put him out there. I felt sorry for Ken.
The try that he scored, Josh, was a regulation put down for a right-handed winger. He just could not get that ball in his right arm. It was just like, I'm not used to this. And he's on the right wing. We've got Brent Naden on the left wing, who's a freaking right center. So, it wouldn't have stopped their forward pack. But the point is, our own club don't even know our players' best positions. It's just, you ask 80% of our fan base where they play Ken Mamalo, none of them are going to say right wing. Like, we literally have, it's like we're doing it on purpose. It really is. It's almost like we want to come last. So if by some chance we come 14th or 13th next year, we can say, oh, look at us, we've improved, we're on the way up, and get all this West Tigers bullshit club PR spin going from, you know, the politician Pasco himself up to Hadjipantelis. Like, it's just, I just don't get the footy basics. Like, you know, I can bash and do what I want to the leaders of the club, but why is Mamalo on the right wing? Why is Naden even playing on the wing? Like, you see how Toa tackles? Toa's had one good defensive game, which was against Newcastle, where he literally made some really good head-on tackles on Bradman Best. Every other time he's been in the centre position, he looks like a kid, okay? He's not a first-grade centre. Yet we've got Brent Naden, who played in a grand final 2 years ago, and we've shunted him on the wing. This club doesn't even know what's good for themselves, mate. Even though we don't have the cattle, we still don't play him in the best positions, mate. We need some fucking IQ in that club, because we've got none right now.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's there's so many obvious things that are left out. So a stat I tweeted out today. So our worst seasons, I was thinking today, what were our worst seasons ever? So I kind of looked it up. So obviously this year, 4 wins, 20 losses, 342-4, 623 against. So our worst record, so it's a tie. The least wins we've ever had is 7. And we've done it 5 times. So 2002, 2003, 2013, 2017, and 2020, we did that, but there was 4 less games. So, yeah, those years were 7-17. In terms of conceding more points, 2013, we conceded 687. So that's another 60 on top of, obviously, I think Benji Marshall was going through a shoulder recon. Then we'll kind of, into a rebuild then, but 2017 only 571 conceded. So in terms of points scored, 342, the next lowest is 386 in 2013, so 44 below the worst amongst that bunch. So as you had a pretty good stat you're mentioning off air before, what was it?
So out of the, looking at the Wooden Spooners records since we expanded to a 16-team comp in 2007, we are the third worst out of all of them. The worst was obviously the Knights of 2017, where they won one game for that season that was against us, and they got a draw against the Raiders. So a win, a draw, and 22 losses is the worst. The Dogs of last year, 3 wins, 21 losses. And then us this year, 4 wins, 20 losses. The next worst after this year, is the Titans of, I think it was 2019, where they finished the season and their differential was about 40 points better than what we finished with this year. And Josh, another stat just to add to your worst seasons ever, we finished 13th last year, but that was our worst year for conceding points with all the rule changes and everything. In 2021, we conceded 714 points in 24 games, which is atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, last year, that was the bubble and everything. There's a few excuses there, but this year it was just a write-off, letting players go and players play for other clubs. Like, it was just, it just reminds me of tanking in American sports, but there's no draft picks. So, yeah. And according to Pasco, you can't, it's too late to spend any of the money. So, yeah, as Rob says, yeah, just baffling. I don't, yeah, they, to turn it around, I still think we'll be better next year based purely on the amount of talent that was injured this year. So your Stephs, your Jackson, Adam missed half the year. Yeah, Sean's coming back. Tommy Talau's coming back. Like, there's a lot of talent, and a lot of guys that, yeah, we've hammered for not being up to it this year, who will just will sink back to second grade. So, yeah, I feel like, I'm not saying we'll be a top eight side, but we can't be this bad. Like, this is just literally, and we had games. How many games can you count that refereeing decisions could have switched? And yes, we should have been good enough to not have one decision cost us. But the Luch,
I'd say four not games.
A try. If Dane, in the same game, if Dane Laurie catches the ball off the grubber kick against the Warriors, there's that win. Obviously, the Cowboys, everyone knows we won that game. There's, yeah, multiple. Yeah, seven or eight wins was probably possible with this squad. But
and you know what the sad thing is, Josh? Like, normally the Wooden Spoon winning club can say, okay, there's only one way to go from here, and that's up. But next year with the 17th team coming in, it's quite possible that, well, if we get the spoon again, we're even worse because we're not 16th, we're 17th. So it's the one year you can't confidently say the only way from here is up, because you can go further down next year.
Chris on Facebook, the Titans, I completely forgot that was this year. I thought last 2 years kind of blend into each other. The Jock Madden drop on the buzzer against the Titans, obviously the Dragons last week. Yeah, if it doesn't touch
Dragons, Pogues, the first time we played
Pogues them. Foot. Yeah, it's just... yeah, you could probably circle six games. That I just think with the talent that's going to come back next year from injury, and obviously two very, like, Api Korosau is going to do a lot, and obviously Papa. It's like, I do think 2023 will be better. I don't think we're going to win a premiership or anything special, but yeah, I am looking forward to round one next year. I do think we'll have a team that's competitive, but there's a lot of money to be spent. I just, a lot of decisions that need to be made that hopefully are the right one. Anything to add to that, Rob, before we throw this game in the pit of fire?
Look, just on the stats that you put up there with the previous years, I think one really damning stat is the attack, because never has the game suited attacking football more than this year with the repeat sets and the faster play, et cetera, et cetera. So that 342 in some of those previous years might have been a 280 or a 290. So, I mean, everything's bad. Just on what you're saying about next year, I mean, that's all well and good, but if Appy and Isaiah cop an injury or something, you know, like, we need them to play the whole year. And, you know, it is Tim Sheens. You don't know where Tim Sheens is going to play them. Appy could end up at halfback and Papali'i on the wing. Like, you don't know. And that's the thing. As supporters, we have to put all our faith in Tim Sheens now. There's just no other choice but to say Tim Sheens has to do it. And I just can't do that. I'm sorry. I'll just watch and I'll cheer the team, but I'm just going to be a realist about it all.
Just a ladder if anyone wants to throw up. Yeah, right down the bottom. There end up being... The Warriors end up coming second last. I only realized that today. I didn't really look at the ladder.
Yeah, until the Titans for and against today. Was better than...
Yeah, they jumped the 13th.
Warriors, so that, yeah, they jumped up a couple.
Yeah, the Warriors two wins ahead of us. So if we had beaten the Warriors in that game, what are they? -292. We could have almost jumped them. That literally, that loss to the Warriors at Campbelltown could have swung that. But anyway, let's not dwell on it. So onto the news. So five guys that have been confirmed to be leaving. James Tarmel. He hasn't announced his retirement, but he's not going to be re-signed. Kelma Tuilagi obviously going to Manly. Luke Garner going to Penrith. James Roberts announced his retirement. Rob, did that catch you off guard? Were you surprised by that?
Oh, I'm not surprised. Obviously, the club's told him they don't want him next year. The sad part is he would have been going better than any of the centres we've got at the moment that are playing centre. So, yeah, look, I mean... He's had a lot of injuries. He's had a few mental issues as well. And he's obviously not feeling up to another preseason or whatever the case may be. But I'm sure he's been tapped on the shoulder. Like, I don't think he wants to go on a train and trial again. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, our roster needs a complete overhaul, guys. So we've got to turn over as many players as we can real quick.
And Jock Madden, more than likely off to the Penrith Panthers. I'm pretty sure it's a done deal. At this point. So, yeah, Ivan Cleary will probably turn him into a superstar. Other bits of news. So, Buzz Rothfield kind of, look, I hate to have to agree with him, Rob, but it's pretty similar to what you've been saying. So, basically, the headline on Fox Sports, completely invisible, Sheen's Benji torched as Tigers caretaker. Handed a horrible hospital pass. So basically, he feels sorry for Brett Camoli. So he said, I tell you, I'm disappointed with Tim Sheens and Benji Marshall. They've been appointed as coaches long-term over the next 5 years. They've been completely invisible. This is on the big sports breakfast today. I think Tim Sheens has thrown a horrible, horrible hospital pass to Brett Camoli. How was my Buzz Rothfield impersonation?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Yeah. Look, I think it's unfair to throw Benji in that because Sheens is employed as head of football. I'm not a Sheens fan, but in terms of who was available at that club this year, he was the most experienced man. We tried to get Seraldo. We lost him. Seraldo's team came back to him and said it needed an experienced man to move this club forward. So what does he do? He throws an interim coach under the bus just so that he doesn't ruin his record. Although his excuse is, I have to prep Benji and Robbie for next year. Well, like I've said to you a few weeks ago, if you know you've been given a new job and you can start fixing it straight away, you start fixing it. And I said that even 2 months ago. And now a lot of the media are running with the same thing, but it's not any genius call. It's bloody common sense. And I do not understand, you know, Rothfield himself said Sheens has this itch to coach again. Dave Riccio said he has this itch to coach again. This was his chance. Even if we lost every game or won one out of our last 10 games like we did, we could have had better performances. There could have been accountability from the players because they say, you know what, this man is coach next year. We can't just turn it up. And we know there were a number of games where certain players turned it up. So I just think it is one of the most poorest things anyone has ever done. And I will never forgive Sheens for this. Like I truly hate him, like with a passion. I just despise him. So yeah, he just threw all of us under the bus and we had no hope for quite a long time. And you never thought we'd go backwards after Madge got sacked because you think we're going to be putting things in place. We've got nothing. We've got no systems in place. There's just nothing going on. It's like, oh, we're going to put all the new systems in November. We can't change things now. It's too late. What would have been the harm in changing it? Would we have had worse losses than 72-6 or whatever yesterday was, 56-12 or whatever the frick it was? Like, you know, it couldn't have been any worse. And we could have at least, you know, tried some things this year that if they didn't work, we don't have to experiment with them next year. It's it's just mind-boggling, Josh. And this is what happens when you have dum-dums. And just in case they're listening, I want to repeat it clearly. Dum-dums, like Hadjipantelis and Pascoe, that they don't know what they're doing. They should have been telling Sheens, mate, get in there. We need your help now. How stupid are they to just say, oh, we'll leave everything up to Tim Sheens and let him run away from his responsibility? It's just awful, mate. It's absolutely awful. And I don't know. I just don't know anymore, Josh. I'm sick of fucking bashing these dickheads. They're just so fucking stupid. It's beyond comprehension. It's absolutely beyond comprehension. And they wonder why I get the shits. I love my team, and you guys are fucking destroying it, and you destroy my passion for watching the game with my family. Like, it's just, thank fuck this year's over, and I hope the three of them just fuck off or meet a cement truck in the off season.
Our next news story is probably not going to help you calm down at all there, Rob, but Leichhardt Oval set the close as Tigers boss hands down $50 million ultimatum. So Lee, we obviously, if you haven't heard our chat with Darcy Byrne last Thursday about this whole Leichhardt Oval situation, check it out. That was a great chat with Darcy. Lee said, unless there is money spent on that facility, obviously talking about Leichhardt, unless there is an upgrade to bring it into the 21st century, then by the end of 2023, there will be no further elite sports played there. That means the West Tigers would suffer. All our supporters and fans would suffer. There's a relatively simple solution. It is $50 million. I don't put a lot of faith in what politicians tell us, particularly around election time. So I think you might find there's a change of heart either just before or just after the election. If they can find $450 million for Penrith and $830 million for the Roosters, I'm sure they can find $50 million for the Tigers. Rob, and I just went on a bit of a rant against this guy, but is how do you read what Lee's saying here for our beloved Leichhardt Oval?
Well, he's saying what we're all thinking and all wanting, but you know, I think it's laughable that he says he doesn't believe what politicians have to say, because I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth anyway. Like, he's just hopeless. Like, he's incapable and full stop. But in terms of Leichhardt, as I said to Darcy Byrne last Thursday night, we've got so many sports that use Leichhardt Oval and a lot of junior sports that use Leichhardt Oval as well. I think if Liberal do renege, which they shouldn't, and it's really poor of them, I'm sure if Labor get in next March, we will get Leichhardt saved. If the deadline's the end of 2023... I think we'll be fine. It'll get saved at the 11th hour, but you know, we can't wait till that 11th hour. We've got to keep the heat on Perrottet right now and just try and get this over the line, because you know, I mean, but to say that we're not suffering, we're suffering already, guys. Whether we play at Leichhardt or whether we play at Pratton Park, Lidcombe Oval, Campbelltown, Birchgrove Oval, we're suffering already. It doesn't matter where we play. We're just getting our ass kicked from pillar to post. But we need Leichhardt Oval.
Yeah, it's just we can't take a trick on any aspect at the moment. Our ground's literally falling. One of our grounds is literally falling apart. Team's falling apart. It not good times. Righto, before we head into the player poll, the player ratings poll, just a reminder, Tiger Fit. So, yeah, these sessions, we're training in Sydney Olympic Park Monday and Thursday nights if you want to come along and... I know a couple of Tigers fans are joining us in the next week or so. So if you want to come along and improve your fitness, it's the weather's starting to warm up slightly, although it was a bit breezy yesterday at Leichhardt. But great time to start getting your health and fitness up and running, and lose a bit of weight before heading to the beach this summer. So if you want more info about this, send us a direct message in the socials or podcast at westlife.com via email, and I'll get back to you. Righto. Player rating
Josh,
poll.
Just before we go to the poll, Josh.
Sure.
I stumbled across another piece of news. I guess you could call it news. Not long after we went live. And it's an article on Zero Tackle that was posted yesterday confirming that Nofaluma will be returning to us next year. It's basically just said that, let me see if I can find the quote I was looking for. It was a personal thing for myself. I came down to Melbourne to gain some leadership and see some of the leaders here, how they are. It starts with the leaders, he said. That was my focus in coming to Melbourne, not just be a better player, but to get an understanding on how to be the best for your teammates.
Yeah. Well, who posted that one? There's nothing in the email, so I can see.
No. So it's just on Zero Tackle, the website. It was posted by Scott Pride, their editor, yesterday, actually while our game was on. And I've just stumbled across it as we went live.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
He has supposedly confirmed that he's returning to us next year.
Okay. Well, he's under contract, so I guess what else is he going to say? Righto, first player. I have got comments for everyone. I didn't bother asking for comments. Oliver Gildart, 2.6. He's obviously playing for the Roosters in the semi-finals. Now, Rob, what were your thoughts on Ollie Gildart? I feel like, it was a bit tough being thrown in the fire of NRL with us. Do you think he could come back to us and be a first-grade player next year?
I don't think we have the right people to develop players that have ability into great players. I truly believe that. I think Oliver Gildart's got good feet. He's got good hands. We've seen him make a few line breaks earlier in the year where he took the wrong option, didn't know what to do there. He can tackle, but he just can't read a defensive situation. So he'd often take the wrong man, jam in too early or stay out or just make the wrong read. So if he stayed in the Rooster system for a year or two, I think he could be a great player. Pardon my voice, it's just going on me. I don't think he'll come back a better player. And from what I've heard, once Oliver Gildart got dropped from the first grade team, he felt quite isolated, quite lonely. There was no care factor from within the club for him. There was no one trying to improve his game. And that's coming from his camp. So I think his time at the West Tigers, he hasn't enjoyed. I don't expect him back, and I don't expect him to recommend anyone to go to the West Tigers as well.
As anything to add on Gildart?
No, Rob's pretty much summed it up. There's potential there in the right system. We just didn't see it because we don't have the right systems yet. I'll be interested to see if that changes over the next few years with Sheen's, Rob, and Benj in charge. But for now, it's a bit of a shame he didn't quite get to show us what he can really do with some time and some practice in the NRL. But good luck to him next year because, I don't think he's going to be with us either.
Righto, on to James Roberts, the next back. So a couple of comments I've added to you guys. Thanks to everyone for submitting. So I pulled out some good ones. So Jezza said about Jimmy, was putting together some nice performances early on, but once again got injured. Darcy said, hard to know what goes on in terms of selections. Looks like the club is focused on developing the younger outside back, so wasn't really going to get a good look at him. Jordan said he deserves another training trial. Obviously, the news of him retiring hadn't broken yet. And he was given a 5.0, so a pass mark for Jimmy Roberts. Does that surprise you, Rob?
It doesn't surprise me this year, Josh. As I've said previously, last year, I wouldn't have had a bar of Jimmy Roberts, and I would have said get rid of him last year. And I know he didn't play many games this year, but to be brutally honest, the games that he played this year, he did much better than I expected. His defense was a lot better. In 2021, he never threatened to make a break or make meters. When he played this year, he looked dangerous. So I really feel he's got tapped on the shoulder to move on, which is fair enough. I mean, I do think his body's a little bit busted. So I don't think we'll ever get 20 games a year out of him. But what he gave us this year, Josh, I actually think is more than fair. I thought it was he was actually quite good. He really was. And I was his harshest critic the year before. So, you know, you just got to call it as you see it. I thought he was really good.
As anything to add to that?
Yeah, I kind of went a little bit lower than that with Jimmy because I didn't. I agree with Rob that he was a bit better this year than he was last year, and his performances overall were quite a bit better. But I just felt like we didn't get to see the impact out of him that we potentially could have because we focused a bit more on the younger guys. Plus, he spent a fair bit of time out injured as well, so didn't play all that many games. Disappointed to see him retire because I thought he may still have a year or two or something left of good footy in him because he's only 29, I believe. So
yeah,
quite on the young side for retirements. But that's we've had Chanel Harris-Tavita retire at the age of 26 this year too. So you can't really look too much into that, I guess.
Back injuries are a tough one to deal with. Right, David Nofaluma up next. So Chris Cohen said, disappointing with effort for the team. Can clearly see when he is frustrated on the field. For every metre made forward, there are at least 5 metres sideways. Wish you could go back to tuck, run and tackle bust. Cohen said, I love him, but it just looks like he doesn't have the passion or heart to play for the team anymore. And that showed in his attitude on off. I think he meant on and off field drama. I think the failures of the club during his career wore him down mentally. Looks so much happier at the Storm. Simon English said simply, what happened to Nofzilla? As thoughts on Nof when he was a West Tiger this year?
Yeah, Nof's been one of my favourite players for a fair while now. I love the passion he brought to the club. I remember seeing all those Twitter GIFs of him with the logo on the jersey and stuff like that. There was one from a game at ANZ. There was one from a game at Leichhardt, and just that passion and that pride he showed in that he always brought to the jersey and to the club. It just didn't seem to be there this year, which was really disappointing because he just you could see it with Cohen said with the off field drama. He didn't need to do that stuff. It was a matter of, I don't know. I feel like ever since he had the leadership group role taken off him last year for whatever reason they did that. I forget. That was a while back now. It just seems like we haven't had the same Noffa. I hope that when he does come back, he has learned some lessons from Bellamy and the rest of the Storm system about what it takes to be a leader, what it takes to lead your team and to be a good role model for the younger players in your team, and he can bring that back, and the team on and off the field can be better as a result. It was really disappointing for me to see Noffa have the year he did and for him to be sent away to Melbourne. Like I said, when he first left, I hope it's a good experience for him. But yeah, I rated him. Oh, what did I rate him? It was a while back now. I think I rated him a 5. I think I gave him a bit of a middle of the road rating there.
5.9 for Noffa was the average. Anything to add for Noffa, Rob?
Look, I think he does get our sets off to good starts. He always catches the ball on the full. It always takes 2 or 3 men to tackle him, or even if they don't tackle him, he disorganises the defence, which gets our go forward good. I don't think he was as bad as everyone's saying this year. It's clearly the off-field issues, as Aaron said, that have really upset the club and probably why they loaned him out to Melbourne to try and straighten him out a little bit. And when you think of that 5 captains that we had this year, to think that Mamalo had been there less than a year and he was named as a club captain, as opposed to Nofaluma, who was going into his 10th season as a West Tiger. I mean, that's pretty damning that, Noffa wasn't held in high regard by the playing group. So look, hopefully he comes back a better player. I personally don't think he fits into this high-speed, up-tempo game that Sheens and Marshall are talking about. I don't know if anyone watched the game last week against Para, but Melbourne threw a perfect cutout ball to Noffa, and he was clear. And if that was at O'Carr, it was a try. And because it was Noffa, he started shimmying back inside. So I think our club really want lightning wingers. I know Noffa said he's coming back. I think that might be more of a price tag than anything else. But look, I love the bloke. I just don't think he fits into what Sheens and Marshall are looking for.
On to Asu Kepa'owa. So Robert says, or said, it shows some of the physicality needed to become a first grade NRL player, although there are questions over whether he has the top 2 inches to succeed. Unfortunately, he will be remembered for 2 key lapses that greatly contributed to losses against the Cowboys and Dragons. Brendo said, has shown flashes of what he could be, but development has been hampered through injury in 2 years without reserve grade. And Tim, he's come a very long way from the winger who couldn't catch when we signed him. Good footwork, can score or set up for his outside man, our consistently best centre. A few raps for Kepa there, Rob.
He's definitely improved, Josh. I can't agree with all that defensive stuff. You know, he's charged out of the lines a few times and left holes for tries and stuff like that. As we touched on a few weeks ago, he had Gagai ran over 200 metres against him at Campbelltown. He definitely has improved. He's obviously not a winger because he's not a good high catcher of the ball. I don't think he's a starting centre, but, you know, he could turn into a good backup replacement if someone gets injured. But if he's our starting centre next year, I think we're in trouble.
5.0 was the average for Kepa. Az, anything to add there?
Yeah, that Rob summed it up pretty well. He's shown a lot of improvement in the attacking side of his game this year, but defensively, he's just made a few poor decisions. But I can only hope that gets better with age and experience. I think I rated him maybe about a 5 as well, so a middle of the road signing. Because yeah, he was rocks or diamonds. He was either really good or really poor, or sometimes a combination of both.
Adam Dwayhe, so this one will be interesting. Joey Luclock, he's one of our Patreons, but I still don't know how to pronounce your name properly. Sorry, Joey. His defense and decision-making needs a lot of work, but you can't question his effort and passion. Needs to be the long-term 6 of the club. Douglas Ward says, looked like he cared for about 3 games and lost interest. Needs to stop demanding the club do this and that with him and start focusing on the team. I kind of hope he goes there next year. I kind of hope he goes next year. He doesn't want to be there. And then David said, continues to grow and be our focal point. Need him more than anyone else next season. As pretty much the opposite ends of the scale for Adam. People, West Tigers fans seem to be, this guy should be our captain, and others are like, don't even want him in the team. It's crazy, like, the split. And, yeah, apparently, yeah, within the club, his defense is worrying the, our management, and that's why he hasn't been offered a deal yet. But, I stand by. I think Adam Dwayhe should be our 6 going forward. But, what did you rate him this year as?
Yeah, I gave Adam a 7. I kind of wanted to give him higher, but we didn't see enough of him through the season. Obviously, he was still coming back from that ACL. I think it was an ACL and an MCL reco for most of the first half of the season. They delayed him a little bit just to make sure he was getting it right. And then when he came back, he didn't really set the world on fire until about 4 or 5 games in. But he was definitely one of our better players once he came back. Yeah, his defense could use some work, but with a half, I don't really expect. I probably should expect more out of them defensively, but the plays in the halves, they're often like witches' hats. The forwards target them, and it makes it really hard for them to hang on if they don't get the support from the rest of the forward pack around them. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he definitely needs to be our 6 next year. He'll look a lot better after a full off season. And just on the mixed opinions there, I feel like similar with Brooks. He's praised to high heaven when he has a brilliant game. He's tossed over the coals when he has a poor one. And then there are some people where, just like Brooks, if he has a great game but he makes one or two mistakes, then some people are just going to focus on those. So it's a bit of a shame that he's in that same sort of boat as Brooksy has been in his time at the club. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Adam can do next season with a full off season or full preseason behind him.
Rob, thoughts on Adam's season?
Yeah, look, of those three comments, obviously, you know, agree with probably the top and bottom one more, like especially, you know, Joey Lolash. Look, as Aaron said, we expect too much out of him. If he misses a tackle, we're going to remember that more than anything. People aren't going to remember, you know, his great pass to Dane Laurie on the weekend, for example. So, look, I think he's at the moment, obviously with Jacko out, I still think even with Jacko there, he's probably our best player, Dwayne, but that, you know, I accept that other people will say Hastings is a better player. But we expect our best players to be at their best every week, no matter what's around them. And I think that's quite unfair. Like, you know, Dwayne's not going to look real flash if, you know, Josh, Aaron and Rob are his outside men. You know what I mean? So sometimes he's got to try, he runs the ball a little bit too much and you think, why did he run? Why didn't he try and create or whatever? But I just don't think he's got the troops around him, and he'd be a great player in a better quality team. And that's why we need to get some quality and we need to get some weapons around him, because right now, like if you look at that team on Sunday, when you're playing the West Tigers, you're saying, righto, make sure you mark Dwayne. Just keep an eye out on where Laurie's floating. And if Kelmer decides to run the ball, watch out where Tuolungi is. And there's basically, you don't have to worry about anyone else because we've just got a pop gun attack. Where next year, if the defense is starting to think, shit, is Appy going to run? Where's Papali'i? We get another couple of other names. Jacko's there, Dwayne's there, Laurie's there, Bamalo's there. You start thinking, well, hang on, these guys can produce from other areas in the park. But right now, he's just like literally holding up the flag on his own. And
yeah,
and he has come back from the knee Rico, which, you know, we don't want to keep harping on, but I think it's only his eighth game or something, seventh or eighth game is starting 5'8". So I'm just glad he saw the season out. I hope he had a great preseason. I hope he'd like to stay with the club. If the Tigers find a better 5'8", so be it. You know, I like Adam Dwayne. I love the fact that he loves the club and he wants to stay there. So I'm the sort of guy that wants to keep, you know, I'm loyal to the people that love the club. Okay, so I'd rather keep Adam Dwayne than get a better 5'8", but that's just me. But whatever happens, you know, I think Adam Dwayne will prove to be a great player in the future.
7.1 was his average. So, yeah, he's still, across those 100 people surveyed, he's obviously, yeah, still well rated. So our mid-season signing, Brent Naden, Chris Cohen said, has been our best back and actually offers a point of difference. His aggression and strength is a welcome change in our back line, and I think he will benefit with more support around him. Robert said, had some terrible Naden moments, the send-offs, knock-ons, running over the sidelines, but also probably some of his best NRL moments to date. Gavin Yang said, be good to see what he can do with the preseason with the boys under his belt. Rob, thoughts on Naden since coming through?
Well, as I've said previously, Josh, on this podcast, I think the guy's great. I really think he's bought into wanting to be a West Tiger, which is the most important thing. I've never seen him give no effort. Yeah, he had that brain fade where he stood over the sideline. I think it was against Brisbane or whoever it was. But look, I just think he's being played out of position. I don't understand this stupid decision to put him on the left wing. The guy's got a fantastic right foot step. He should be, and he's big and he's strong and he's fast and he can create havoc with the line. He doesn't need to be on the end of the line. He needs to be creating in the centres. So I just hope that some common sense, you know, prevails amongst the leaders next year of the footy department, you know, in Benji, Robbie and Sheens, and he plays right centre. There's just no reason for him to be on the wing. It's just a waste of talent.
We've lost Az, so...
Okay. Is he back?
He's just popped back in. As we lost you there for a bit, just talking about Brent Naden.
Yeah, he was a pretty good mid-season signing. I remember the main thing a lot of people were questioning us signing him. I think Dogs fans in particular were saying it was a shit signing. We could have done so much better, blah, blah, blah. But he came and played that first game at Leichhardt against the Dogs, and he looked really good. He was playing in the centres because, you know, he's a centre. We all know this. I agree with Chris. Robert, who's with some really, really bad moments. Obviously, the send-off against Manly, knock-ons, dropping the ball over the line a couple times. But most of those things have happened while he was a winger. Excluding the send-off, obviously, because that's not related to it, like a try-scoring play or something. But I am looking forward to seeing what he can do with a good preseason under his belt. Hopefully, we get him in the centres with no Jet there anymore, even though he hardly played there anyway. I do think he's got potential to be one of our centres going forward. I think I rated him a 6, it might have been.
Not sure, but did I say what he was average was yet?
I don't think you did, Josh.
6.9 for NATO.
Okay.
So, yeah, pretty good. Jock Madden. So, on young Jock, Zachary Ball said he is really bad. He, in my opinion, has been given a great opportunity this year to snatch a first-grade spot due to the injuries and suspensions in the halves, and he looks really bad. He's a clone of Luke Brooks, but without a strong running game. Anthony said, hard with Jock. I highly rate him, but the poor kid has been thrown in the deep end with no structure or consistency. Would love to see one full season with him, Adam and Jackson. Unfortunately, can't see that happening with outdated, stubborn old prick Sheens at coach. Boyd said, a true halfback controls the game. Good kicker, good vision. Should be looking to re-sign as our long-term 7 before another club snaps him up. But that's obviously already happened. As thoughts on Jock Madden.
Geez, quite contrasting comments there from Zach.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. I tried to get people that rated these guys high and the lower ones as well, just to kind of get, different views.
See which opinion we agreed with more. I'm kind of more in the middle along with Anthony. To be a really good 7, you've really got to have the forward pack leading the way. And the amount of times our forward pack this year have been monstered in the games he's played, there's been too many to count, really. So there's a limit to what the half can do in those sort of situations. I feel like a lot of his performances this year were better than Brooksy's, but obviously we have a lot more pressure on Brooksy as a supporter base. So there hasn't been anywhere near as much pressure on Jock. I'm disappointed to see him go. I feel like with a bit more work, there's a lot of potential there. Obviously the Panthers and playing under, well, training with Nathan Cleary is going to help him out a lot. So that'll probably grow his game, but yeah, disappointed he won't be with us going forward. I hope though that means that Jacko will be in the 7 next year with AD, because Brooksy, yeah, I don't know, maybe there's still plans to ship Brooksy off, maybe not, who knows. I can't remember what I rated Jock. I think I might have given him a 5 or a 6. It was a while ago, so I can't exactly remember a lot of my scores I've given the players, but it was another, I've done it with a lot of players. I feel like a bit of a middle of the range season, rocks and diamonds for a lot of them. So
5.4 was the average for Jock. What are your thoughts on Jock Madden, Rob?
Yeah, Josh, I'm quite undecided where I sit with Jock. I'm actually surprised that he is leaving. You know, I mean, he's only probably going to get 2 games a year at Penrith or 3 games a year whenever Ivan Cleary's playing Origin. The funny thing is, these 3 comments, at some stage this year, I've agreed with all 3.
Yeah.
and they're all so different. I think he would have been good to keep as a backup. Aaron makes a really good point in terms of, you know, having a good forward pack around him. You know, potentially even having Jock defend with someone like Isaiah Papali'i next to him could kind of be, you know, like a you know, a Tony Carroll to Darren Lockyer sort of thing, you know, a bit of a mentor there, or just stiffen up his defence. Because we noticed yesterday, Madden and Garner weren't too bad in defence on that side. Like, they really sort of did a job on Harawira and Naira. So, I don't know. I think with the right people around him, he could be a good halfback. He's probably a little bit undersized, but I think Luke Brooks is unfortunately going to be the starting seven next year, and that's probably why we've said Jock isn't going to be there next year. But it's really weird the fact that Tim Sheen said, we like Jock Madden, we think highly of him, we want him to stay, and yet we're being told he's not going to be with the club next year, but he hasn't officially signed with anyone else. Mm. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, I have heard it's pretty much a done deal at Penrith, so maybe it's in the cooling off period or something. Kenny Mamalo. So Jezza says, don't think I can fault him. Played on one leg most of the season. Barely noticed him when he was moved from the left wing. Might have had a few more crucial tries if he stayed there. Doreen Pan says, one of my favorites. Got to stop getting injuries. I'm sure he would if he had the choice. Paul says, is okay. Rarely shows interest or passion. Thoughts on Big Kenny, Rob?
I can't agree with that bottom comment. Look, I know you guys will probably disagree with me, but he's my player of the year. I have loved everything this guy has done. I know there was a game or two earlier in the year. It might have been the Cronulla game or even one earlier than that where he looked a bit lethargic, but after round five, he was an absolute beast. He ran the ball harder than any forward we've got. His finishing on the left wing was exceptional. The amount of metres he gained, he just bought into wanting to be a West Tiger. And, yeah, I just loved everything he did, guys. And the fact that he played busted just makes his performances even better. So I couldn't fault him. I think he was the highest-rated player that I gave, and I think I rated him an 8. But I don't think I rated anyone higher than an 8 in the whole club, but because I don't think anyone was worthy of a 9 or a 10. But to me, Ken Mamalo was our best all year.
7.4 for Kenny, as?
Yeah, I rated him, it was either a 7 or an 8. It was one of those two. I definitely don't agree with Paul's comment. He showed interest and passion a lot more than some other players like Kelmer, for example, did. So he occasionally ran the ball as a forward. Some of the meter numbers he pulled out this season in some games were almost as good as a forward, and that was on the wing, sometimes on one leg. Yeah, he wasn't our best. He probably could have been if he played more games and spent a little bit less time injured. I will give Rob that. But yeah, definitely one of our better players for the season, if definitely in our top 5, if not our top 3.
Just looking at the stats from yesterday, he had 44 post contact meters, which is only Fanua Pole had more, and he's on one leg.
Yeah, how many did Kelmer have?
Kelmer had 34.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to go look up who had more post contact meters this year. Now I'm curious. Well,
yeah, he talked through the next. He had 11 runs for 125 meters, and he literally should have been almost looked like he should have been on crutches. So, did I say his score yet? I can't remember.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I think you said 7.4.
Okay, so we'll move on to Stafford Toa. Ethan says on Stafford, has a lot of mistakes in him, but if he can play consistent, he can be good. Luckily, he's young. Darcy said, pretty decent first season with us. Very agile and skillful. Needs polishing and have to see what position is best for him. Just feel like our centers are a bit small and lack defensive steel. Good season, I'd say, though. And Patty said, a rocks and diamonds kind of year for Star. Great tackle buster and looks dangerous with the ball, but has errors in him and gets caught defensively. As you go first on Stafford.
I found Stafford very tough to rate because he was used in every position in the back line. He was sort of our back line utility for the season. He filled in for Dane when Dane was out. He also had stints in the center, stints on the wing. So I found it really hard to give him a rating because here, there, and everywhere. I think I ended up going with a 5 or a 6. He had some really good performances in the one while Dane was out earlier in the season. But then he came back, was playing in the centres. I think it was against the Rabbits that second game where Dane came back, and he was awful defensively. I think 4 of the tries the Rabbits scored that game were down his side. So it was definitely a rocks and diamonds season. Not sure how he's going to go next year. I feel like he'll be one of our depth players potentially. Not sure what Tim and Benji have in mind in regards to what they'll be doing with him.
Rob?
Look, definitely a depth player. As Aaron alluded to, like his first couple of games were on the wing and he was really safe under the high ball. I think it was might have been the Gold Coast game. He had really good numbers that day too, didn't make a mistake. When he filled in for Dane, again, very safe under the high ball. Not exactly a great ball playing fullback in attack, but just filled in a role. He's not a centre defensively, although he's got really good feet in attack. So for me, he's not a starter in our back line at all, but he's a more than adequate backup fullback or backup winger. I don't think he's a backup centre.
Good point from Nick. He should have had the game winner against the Cowboys. That moment just completely forgotten. That's a good point. Again, did I say score? 5.5 for Stafford Toa.
I gave him a 5, I think.
Yeah, I gave him a 5 as well.
Junior Tupou, a bit of a tough one. I'm an R in whether to include him because he only played a handful of games. But Peter Dickinson said he has done fairly well with limited opportunities. Fair chance he overtakes Toa eventually. Chris G, limited time. Looks like he's got some Benji-like moves on his feet. Could be dazzling in the future around a good pack and halves. And Byron said, see some good signs in the kid. For his age, he didn't shy away from the challenge, and that's commendable. Needs to improve in the air on defense and find his shoulder and not get caught too far inside. As he develops, he could be another Daniel Tupou. Rob, I think it's your go to go first.
Look, he didn't get enough games. He's definitely very raw, but he's got a lot of talent. The thing that bothers me with, I know he's been injured the last couple of weeks, but the thing that bothered me is when there was a chance to play him, we went with either James Roberts, who's announced his retirement and wasn't wanted by the club, or we went with Luke Garner, who's going to Penrith, or we went with another name. This was the perfect time to blood this kid as a center or a winger when Kenny was injured. Just give him some game time. Like you can't go worse than losing by 60 points. If this is the way, if we're talking up this development path crap, okay, then act like you're actually going to follow it up. So the fact that we didn't play him as often as we should have, considering the injuries we had, considering Nofaluma left, et cetera, it's quite disappointing how he was handled by the club.
Ads?
Yeah, I found it really tough to rate Junior. He played 4 games. He was 18th man for another 4 games. Scored a couple tries, but absolutely underutilized. I feel like there is a lot of potential there with him. And like Rob said, we just didn't get to see it because he was always second or third behind other players who played in positions where maybe they shouldn't have been playing. Garner in the centers, for example, he was definitely one of our... He should have stayed in the second row. Junior could have easily filled in the centers in those games, even though we didn't see him until round 10. Is that because he was a development player this year? Was he on a development contract? Or because I think he was he was a mid-season signing, an early season signing, I'm pretty sure.
I think we signed him at the end of last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Aaron, okay. And I don't think he was limited on the number of first grade games he could play. Like, he certainly played in the first half.
I think he was injured late in the year, but there was no confirmation over that. So,
well, he debuted against the Cowboys, and I know he got a run against Canterbury before he came off injured at Leichhardt. Yeah. I can't remember the other games, but he scored a spectacular try against the Cowboys. Like, leapt for that bomb and scored the try. So, I just don't get, like, just imagine him having had another three or four or five games more in first grade instead of having to experiment with him next year and see what he's going to be like. Like, he was a better option than Tower at centre, and he was certainly a better option than Robertson. And you know, don't get me wrong, like, Luke Garner played well, but as you said, Garner could have strengthened our pack and just given him a go in the forwards. I just don't get what this club is trying to do.
5.2 for Junior Tupu.
The other two games he played, Rob, were against the Eels and the Panthers, those back-to-back ones in rounds 17 and 18. He was then 18th man rounds 20 and 21 and wasn't seen since.
Yeah,
Think I gave him a 4.
Yeah, I don't think I gave him much because his sample space wasn't high enough. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't give someone a 5 or a 6 when they've only played 4 games out of 25.
We'll call him Harold Holt next year. No one knows where he went. Dane Laurie. So, Joey, got Joey back again. Good comment. A lot of good comments from Joey in this poll. I couldn't use all of them, but just to be fair. But he said, started the year poorly and then had a blinder against Para. Got injured the next game against South and came back looking like how he started the year. He began playing well once Naden returned, but he needs to fix his defensive organisation and positioning to be an elite one. Kathy said, slow off the mark, and I still believe he's too small and caught out in goal line defence too often. Needs to stay off Instagram Live. And Kim said, the back end of this year, he has shown what he can do. Hopefully, with a settled spine next year, we'll see him turn into a really good fullback. As thoughts on Dane Laurie's season?
Once he stopped doing backflips on his scooter, he came out all right. He got off to a bit of a poor start, but then again, when you start 0-5, so did most of the rest of the team. That game against the Eels, he really showed us what he could do again. And then he got injured against the Rabbits, and yeah, after he came back from that injury, he took a little bit longer to warm back up again, but towards the end of the season, he started to become one of our better players, one of our more consistent players. He played pretty well on the weekend, just gone in what was a pretty poor team. And I remember saying in my comment on the survey, the moment that will live rent-free in my head forever will be his tackle on Gutherson against the Eels on Easter Monday.
Yeah,
that was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, that was great moment. Rob?
Yeah, I agree with all those comments there. They're pretty much on the mark, even though some of them are slightly different. Definitely had a great back half of the year. The one thing that does bother me, even though he's playing really, really well, I still feel he's half a yard slower than last year. I could be totally wrong there. It's just how it looks on the eye. But, you know, he is a little bit undersized, would prefer a bigger fullback, et cetera, et cetera. I just hope his head is in the right space at the start of next year, because we can't afford him getting off to a slow start. He's a key member of our team. He's got one of the spine positions. He's got to do a lot of talking from fullback and organising the defence. He's just got to get a lot more involved like he has in the last few weeks. But to be fair, he's probably been in our top three the last half dozen games that he's played. So definitely improved the back half of the year for sure.
6.4 for Dane Laurie.
I gave him a 7, I think.
Yeah, I think I gave him a 6 or a 7. I can't remember.
So, yeah, around what the other 100 said. Lastly, but not leastly, well, in some eyes maybe, but Luke Brooks. Tim said his best is just what we need, but just doesn't get there often enough. A different Tim. I used two different. There were two different teams. I had to check that it wasn't the same team, but they both had good comments for Brooksy. Had a few great games and came alive in the sixth role besides Hastings, but old issues reoccurring, still scapegoated regardless of performance. T Money said he plays for the jersey. Rob, thoughts on Brooksy's season?
Yeah, it's a tough one, Josh. You know, I'm not a fan of him as a game manager. I've never questioned, you know, his effort or his passion, or to be brutally honest, I don't know how he blocks out the outside noise, because
the amount of crap that he's copped, whether it's warranted or not, you know, in an era of, you know, bullying and suicide and all that sort of thing. It's just, he's just amazing how he's handled it. But just to be constructive, he is not an organizing number seven. His best games were against Parramatta and South when Jackson Hastings was number seven and Brooks was number six. So if we make the decision that Adam Dwyer is number six, personally, I don't see Brooks being a number seven, but it looks like that's how it's going to pan out and we're just going to have to live with it. And look, I don't like the Brooks bashing, but there's certainly games where he hasn't done well. But to be fair, if Jock Madden's playing behind a beaten pack, so is Luke Brooks. But at the end of the day, Luke Brooks has had 8 or 9 years and he's never been a game manager. And if he hasn't been a game manager by now with us, he never will. If he does go to another club, I think he'll thrive. But to be brutally honest again, who doesn't leave the West Tigers and plays worse? Like literally every player that leaves our club.
Aaron Woods.
Well, okay, Aaron Woods is one. I'm glad you named one because really, like, I find it hard to find many players. Like, I think Ryan Madison's 2019 season was elite for us. But I just find every player that goes to another club just walks into a better system and looks like a first grader. You know, point in case, Matt Eisenhuth, who you know, looked like crap with us, and he knows his role in the Penrith team and just goes about his work and does it properly. But, you know, even Noffa, like, Noffa looks better in the Storm jersey. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I just
Brooksy's Esan Masters, good shout on YouTube from JM445.
Esan Masters being better. Oh, yeah. He was worse. Yeah, he dropped off. But to be fair, he couldn't tackle when he was with us anyway. It's just he's
played for New Zealand when he was with us.
Yeah, he's attacking. Look, if Esan Masters could have kicked straight, we would have made finals. But that's another story. But look, Brooks, he's just one of those, you know, it's got to the point now where if Brooks makes a mistake, it's just magnified by 10. And, you know, that's just the way it is. When you got someone on $1 million, they expect him to perform better. But, yeah, I don't think I rated him highly. I think I might have rated him as a 5. But, you know, love him or hate him, I'm not going to deny he doesn't try. But he's just not an organiser, full stop. Your thoughts, Aaron?
4.9 for Brooksy too, which I think is just pretty funny. He literally just below a pass mark for Brooksy.
Yeah, I gave him a 5 as well. We definitely saw some of his better performances when he was wearing the 6, especially in those wins against the Eels and the Rabbits. So he's definitely got the potential there. He's always had the potential there. We just don't get the chance to see it often enough because, like you said, Rob, he's definitely not a game manager. He thrives better when he's got that game manager and he can do the running. And I think I said it earlier in the season, when he's got that extra little bit of time to think, he makes better decisions. And when he's the 6, he has that time because Jacko or whoever's there as the 7 is the one who's making those rapid fire decisions. So it's a bit of a shame that we haven't really seen a lot of great Brooksy moments this year. We saw a few, but we've also seen some pretty poor ones. I think I remember round the second game against the Eels, the one at Accor Stadium, I think he kicked the ball out on the full 3 times. Was it, Josh? You were there. It was something along those lines where the pressure just gets to him a little bit and he crumbles under it. I feel like, if the club wants to move in the right direction and cut Brooks some slack as well, then it'll be best to part ways with him. But yeah, I don't see it happening. I do think he's going to be the 7 going forward, but who knows? Maybe having Benji and Robbie as attacking coaches might bring out the best in Brooks. I'll be interested to see how he goes next year, particularly early season, especially if we see that Brooksy Dwyer halves combo with Jacko in 13.
Luke on YouTube asked if we'd done Hastings yet. I just realized I didn't make a page for Jacko. Of all the players I left out, for whatever reason, Jacko isn't on there. So Jackson Hastings, 8.3. I'll bring up a couple of comments live from the spreadsheet. Doing it live. Robert says, brought an intensity and a desire to win that the Tigers have been lacking for a long time. Brendo says, brings great direction and leadership that has been sorely lacking. Definitely play to build a team around. Who didn't rate Jacko? Who's given Jacko? Let's call someone out who's a Jacko hater. It's a lot of eights and nines.
It's going to be hard to find one, Josh, when you've got an average of 8.3 over 100
people. Yeah.
I think you'd be lucky to find anything lower than a 5 there.
Yeah, if you find a 7, go with it.
There's a couple of sevens. Seven from, who's that? Will. Will says, our best back, but the team looked better with him at lock. Should be re-signed and captain. So, hard marker, Will. He's giving him a rap, but giving him a 7. Yeah, pretty much everyone loves Jacko. Oh, hang on. I found a five. A 5 from Zachary, one of our Patreons. When he got the 7 jersey, we finally looked competent. I really just wanted to see Hastings and AD in the halves together just to see what we could do with it. Has great leaderships, but sometimes overplays his hand. Hard. Yeah. That was worth a 5, according to... to Zach.
That's a pretty good comment for a low mark.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really say I agree with him overplaying his hand, but he definitely is a great 7, and he did a role as 13 as well. Obviously, if Joffa, not Joffa, if was it Joffa? Is that I forget. Anyway, I agree with Benjamin there. He definitely lifted us off the canvas. The games against the Eels and the Rabbits again that we won, he was a superstar in those two games. I still have very vivid recollections of you having the picture behind you when we were doing the review of that first
the Jesus
week, Josh.
Picture. Yeah.
The Jesus picture with Jacko's face. I feel bad for him because it seems like for a lot of the middle part of the season, he was playing with that foot injury. He was trying to play through it, and he clearly wasn't himself while he still was dealing with that. So it's a bit of a shame that we didn't get to see the best of him for as long as possible, but he's definitely going to be somewhere in our team moving forward. Definitely need to keep him, definitely need to build the team around him. I feel like if we go up the ladder, it's going to be in big part to Dwayne, Blore, Twoll, Jacko, Papali'i, and Coruscant all in the team next year. So with all those guys back and potentially a few others as well, we're looking a lot better. So Jacko, I gave him an 8. I would have given him like an 8.5 if I could, but yeah, I gave him an 8.
Rob, thoughts on Jacko?
Can you hear me, Josh? It says my...
I can, yet.
Like, says my mic's muted.
Okay. Yeah, I just muted because there's a little bit of... I can hear you like fiddling around with the mic. There's a little bit of like rustling sort of noise coming through.
It's probably me hitting the mute button on and off, to be fair. I've been coughing like a you know what. Look, Jacko's just a real interesting one, and I think it's one that, you know, we have to make 100% decision on what we're doing with Jacko this year, because if we're going to play him as a lock, then obviously he's got to keep, you know, that 100 kilo frame sort of body shape the way it is. But if we're thinking of playing him as a number 7, he's got the whole off season to drop a bit of weight and improve some speed. I don't get why he's not number 7. I thought he was a lock, but after seeing him play as a lock, I don't think he's as impactful. I've said this before, but the knock on Hastings is that he's too conservative with his plays, whether it's a bomb, whether it's a grubber kick, whether it's a pass, where Luke Brooks will push the boundaries and go for that risky play, even if it doesn't come off. I know Sheens and Benji are talking about this up-tempo, fast game, et cetera, et cetera. So we need pace in the halves. Personally, I think it's more important to have pace between the ears, especially if you're number 7. And the fact that Hastings makes so many great decisions really quickly, I think that more than makes up for a lack of foot speed. I'd love to see Hastings in the halves with Dwayne, as Aaron alluded to earlier. Mm. I just don't think we're going to get it, Josh. And I think the wear and tear on Jacko as a lock
will kind of just hurt him a little bit. I'd really like to see him play as a half. I think if your two best players are in your spine, I think you go a long way to having a successful footy team and a team that'll be driven by both its halves. I don't think Luke Brooks is a big talker, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him. I just think Dwayne and Hastings, just, you know, the passion is right there to see from everyone. So, yeah, I'd like to see Hastings at seven, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see what happens come next year. Go lucky I didn't forget to talk about Jacko. But, right, to finish the show, our 3-2-1. So this will determine who is going to take home the awards. Who wants to go first? Somehow find a 3-2-1 for that shit show yesterday.
I'm easy, guys.
You want to go first, then, Rob?
Okay, sorry. Rob.
Okay.
Scissors, paper, rock.
Sorry, guys. Look, 3 points. I guess I'll give it to Laurie. He looked, you know, from what I saw watching the game, mostly unemotionally. It looked like he was, you know, pretty much trotting out most of the game. So I'll give him 3 points. I hope it doesn't affect the overall winner because I know he's had a really good late run. I'm going to give 2 points to Luke Garner. I thought he made a couple of good runs. The only try Timiko scored, who was his opposing centre, was off a grubber kick. And they pretty much stopped Timiko and Harawira and Ira all day down that right edge of Canberra. So I thought he did quite well. And even though I'm not a fan of New Brown playing number 13 because he's too small, I just thought New Brown tried his ass off. So, and he's definitely a depth player. He'll definitely be a great backup for Appy if we keep him. And obviously he'd be okay in a pack as a number 13 occasionally if the rest of our pack was pretty big. But the fact that we got a few more smaller blokes with him in that pack didn't go well for trying to stop the likes of Papali'i and Tapane and Elliot and all these other guys yesterday. So 1 point to New Brown.
As?
Yep. So I remember last week you guys asked if I had a sneaky bet on who was going to win because it looked like it, according to you guys, it looked like I was trying to get Joffa over the line. Yeah. So with that in mind, my picks for this week, I'm giving my 3 to Dane as well. From what I saw before I left, he was definitely one of our better players. He tried, he put in the effort, he scored a nice try. Not a huge fan of the swan dive when you're down 42-0, but it is what it is. Maybe it was nice for him to just celebrate that one. I'm going to give my 2 to New Brown. I feel like he had a pretty decent game as well. Again, in a pretty poor team. And again, I'm giving Pole my 1 point because I'm just looking forward to seeing what he brings to the team after a full preseason next year because he's taken to first grade like a fish to water. He's looked good. He's looked promising. There's a lot of potential there, and he looked good again in a losing side yesterday. So
yeah, I'm going to give
no points to Joffa this week. There you go.
Yeah, that kind of pretty much seals it. So I've got Dane as well. So it's, yeah, Dane running away on his scooter with this award. Now, for 2, I had Vanilla Pole in my head as well. So I'll give him my 2 for 1. It's tough. It's tough finding the third person. Yeah, New Brown definitely deserves a point. Fingers crossed. I want to hear that he's re-signed because it hasn't been officially confirmed yet, has it? New Brown,
no,
re-signing. So fingers crossed that that happens. So drum roll, the winner of the MG Pumps player of the year for us is Dane Laurie. So he ended up with 71 points, Joe Fingali with 56, Jackson Hastings in third still with 47. If you do per game, I guess Jacko probably wins it.
Average.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's average per game, Jacko probably wins it. But that's not what it's about. It's about being, the whole season. And then Kenny, 38. And Luke Brooks, 22. AD, 21. So AD per game, probably not far off as well. So we'll try and we need hit up Shane, see if he can build us a trophy, get like a pipe or something that we can ship off to Dane Laurie. See what we can do.
Maybe a skateboard in the shape of a wooden spoon.
The award's about us, not him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You make a trophy about who, it's for MG pumps. I need like a pump on a bit of wood or something, but I don't know. We'll put it up on the socials and see if Dane, reacts to that. But yeah, Dane Laurie is our winner for the year. Right, just before we go, so I teased it a little bit earlier in the show, Thursday afternoon. So Sean Blore said he's going to come back on the show, and he said he'd love to do the live show as well. So Sean Blore is going to come on live, and answer questions and that sort of thing. So the Patreon guys, chuck your questions in the in the Discord, so I can tee them up ready to ask Sean at 4:30 on Thursday afternoon. So he couldn't do evening. So I don't know. You can tune in on your way home from work or something. Yeah. So 4:30 Thursday afternoon rather than Thursday night. There's no footy. There's no Thursday night footy in the semis, is there? No footy on anyway.
No, we start on Friday.
They're popular guy. It's just such a down to earth kid. I say kid. He's like bloody 12 inches taller than me, twice the size of me. But we're really keen to get Sean back on the show, and hopefully, a couple more players in the off season. Hopefully, the club allows us. So, although you'll be at work on Thursday, Rob, you're going to join us. Join Sean and I on Thursday afternoon.
It's the first I've heard of it, Josh, but I will make sure I clear everything to join you.
Legend. Yeah, doing it live. Yeah, I sort of let you know off air. But
that's all good.
Yeah, 4:30.
I might have to see if I can get my lunch break at 4:30 so I can at least get half an hour in with him.
Yeah, do what you can. It's a bit of an awkward time, but people commuting that time. So, yeah, keen to hear how his year went in rehab. Plenty of good questions to ask. Ask him how he gets his arms so big, like in that photo. My God. But, boys, we did it. We did a whole season. As I said, we've got a few more weeks to go. We'll go right up to the grand final. And then before we have a much-earned break. And... yeah, but another season done and dusted. Leave it. You know how we finish every show, guys. Anything else before we wrap up, boys? Have I forgotten anything?
Not at all, Josh. Not at all, mate.
That's pretty much covered it.
Again, Rob, thanks for pushing through. I know you're battling a little bit at the moment, but and every West Tigers fan that tunes in, we appreciate you all. For the ones that come up to us when we're at games, throughout the season. I know us three and Shane have all had people, tell us they love the show. And we really, really appreciate every single one of you. So tell your friends, we'll keep going for a bit more content and start looking at 2023. But we'll see you on Thursday with Sean Blore. And until then, boys, as always, go the Tigers.
Until the day I die, go the West Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
You're listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by West Ashfield Leagues Club and as well as MG Pump Solutions. If you could please subscribe if you'd love to hear us again. We're going to have episodes every week this season, Mondays and Thursdays. So we're going to, as the season rolls in, be sure to catch us every week. And if you can, give us a like on the socials. So at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Search for Westlife Podcast on Facebook. And if you'd like to take part in the show, patreon.com/Westlife. It's just a couple of bucks a month to help grow the show. We'll see you again next time on the Westlife Podcast.